Welcome to the Auburn Community Church Podcast. We are so excited by all God has done through ACC in such a short period of time. We have heard countless stories of people discovering a brand new perspective on Jesus and being strengthened in their faith through what God is doing through our local church in Auburn, Alabama. If you or someone you know has been impacted by the ministry of ACC and would like to invest in all God is doing in and through our church family, we want to invite you to visit our website at auburncommunitychurch.com and click the Give tab to partner with us in seeing the love of Jesus change our community and our world. Thank you for partnering with us to help build a church without walls. We hope you enjoy this message.
So I am ready to preach the word of God to you this morning, and I feel like I've got a word that's going to be intense, but at the same time, it's going to be, I believe, just what needs to be said from this stage today. About 6 months ago, I preached on family. We were meeting at the Ham Wilson Livestock Arena. It was one of the most unforgettable Sundays we've had together because I actually invited dads to pray over their families in the worship time after the sermon. Dads, don't get nervous. I'm not going to do that today. Some of you are like, oh gosh, here we go. But it was such a powerful Sunday. But it was like one Sunday within a series where I felt like there was so much more to be said about family. And so this is kind of an extension of that talk, and it has the same title. If you want to know the title of this series, the title is In the Blood. In the Blood. And like any great sermon series, this is named after a John Mayer song. If you haven't heard the song In the Blood by John Mayer, I would invite you to. I don't think, I'm not aware whether or not John Mayer is a Christian. Maybe something happened last night that I'm unaware of, but he's not necessarily a believer, but this song has a depth of truth about the tension that happens inside of the life of a family, unlike any other song that I've ever heard. There's a line in the song where he says, "Can I change if I wanted? Can I rise above the flood? Will it wash out in the water, or is it always in the blood?" And what he means by that is that there's this me that I want to be and the me that I am, and there's this wall in between, and the wall is the family I was born into. And he's not necessarily saying that something was wrong with his mom or dad or brother or sister, but he is saying that there's this part of me on the inside of me, a blood level part of me that I want to step into all of this life, but there's this part from my family that's holding me back. And can I wash it off with water, or is it always just stuck on the inside of me? And this tension is actually one of the greatest tensions a Christian will struggle with. Because if you didn't know this, Christianity is not ascribing to a set of beliefs. It is not agreeing with a historical book. It is not looking at a set of principles and going, okay, I believe in that, I adhere to that. Christianity is a relationship that is a transition from a family to a new family. And so you leave behind your family of origin and you learn to walk in the new family of Jesus. And that transition for all of us is a brutal transition. Because here's the reality. No matter how great or how dysfunctional your family was that you were born into or still is, all of our families are imperfect. And every single person in this room was born to two parents who were born to two parents who were broken by sin. And so the point of today is not to pick on our parents. It's not to talk about the families that we come from in some kind of negative light. The point of today and the point of this series is that there are some very real realities that you and I have inherited from our families of origin that if we do not face, they will continue to wreak havoc on our lives and on our family. Family trees are not built by memories in history. They're built by roots that are laid deep. And so a lot of you are not going to want to go with me where we're going to be going today. However, if you ignore what is at the root of some of your family issues and never bother to dig it up, you'll wonder why the tree is still having all the problems that it's having generation to generation to generation if you're not willing to dig up what's there at the bottom. My wife and I were at a marriage conference 2 weeks ago. And I'll never forget this. The guy said, he said, 2/3 of spiritual growth is about getting rid of what's already there. And he was talking about marriages. He was like, most of your marriage issues have nothing to do with new things that you need to start doing, but old things that you need to let go of from the families you were born into. And I agree with that, man. Two-thirds of spiritual growth is about confronting what was passed down to you. So that's what this series is going to be about. It's going to be intense. If you're sitting around your family, go ahead and make eye contact and go, this might get awkward. You might want to go ahead and make eye contact. Go, okay. Some of y'all are like, I'm so glad my family's not here. Because it might get awkward, but it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Part one of our In the Blood series is going to be called Family Legacy. Family Legacy. I love the word legacy because it has a double meaning. A legacy is what your family is known for, and it is also what is passed down in your family and what you will pass down. So we talk about the legacy of your family. It's kind of like, what's the first thing somebody thinks of when they think of your family? On top of that, a legacy is another word for inheritance. It's about, this is what's being passed down generation to generation to generation. And the good news for you and the good news for me today is that the entire legacy of your family can be redefined in one moment by the blood of Jesus. The good news about the blood of Jesus is that it's the blood of a new family. And a new family is available for you today if you and I are willing to step into it. But we got to be willing to go to the roots if that is actually going to happen. So if we're going to go to it together, I feel like I need to be open and vulnerable from the beginning. My name is actually a great picture of this reality. Some of you don't know this. My name is actually the combination of both of my parents' last names. So my mom's maiden name was Miles. And her first name, by the way, is Dorcas. She's the only person on planet Earth who that. And somebody goes, no, yes, her parents just wanted her to be made fun of her entire life. That's actually a biblical name, but I really think her parents were just mean. And so my mom's last name was Miles, and she comes from a family with issues. She grew up in Smyrna, Georgia, to a family, I would say, with a lifetime subscription to issues. Anybody come from a family like that? Like, every single issue you can think of, somebody raised their hand. Wow, that's bold. I hope you're not with your family. Every issue you can think of. Abuse, every kind of abuse, physical, sexual, emotional, neglect. Her dad was a Church of God minister who basically preached on Sundays and left his family behind every other day. Divorces all over the place. Divorces, addiction, substance abuse. I mean, it was just a crazy, crazy family on my mom's side, the Miles side. Now, the Fidel side, my dad's side, is the complete opposite of my mom. They are a full-blooded Italian-American family who came over outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and my dad grew up Roman Catholic. And so there are no divorces on my dad's side, but that's less about godliness and more just about pride and keeping a reputation in the community and with the people around you. And so my dad grew up very distant from his dad emotionally. It was very blue collar, all about working hard, all about providing, all about being a family man. And so when my parents got married, think about those two different worlds that were entered into. When my parents got married, they were not following Jesus. And so when they started having kids, they knew they wanted to raise their kids in the church, but they had no idea where. Because my dad was like, well, I don't want them to be Catholic. And my mom was like, well, I don't want them to be crazy. And so they decided, get this, they decided that halfway between Catholic and crazy is Southern Baptist. And I love that. I was raised at Roswell Street Baptist Church in Metro Atlanta. And then when I was in about fourth grade, we joined this weird non-denominational church that met in a hotel. And now I pastor one. So that's great. And I thought it was so weird. I was like, whoa, you're allowed to do that. But needless to say, I inherited a lot of complicated issues from my parents. My parents were phenomenal. I saw them yesterday. They are still married. I was raised in what I believe to be a great home. At the same time, I was unaware of how many issues in my life would continue to pop up because of my family of origin that would not go away the moment I committed myself to follow Jesus. And I can say that most of the years of my 20s have been about confronting realities from my family of origin that I really never got peace with. And if you don't know this as a Christian, this reality will hit you like a brick wall. And I think we do a really poor job in the church of preparing people for this. Like, we want you to pray to receive Christ, and we want you to start a relationship with God. That's great. We want you to get baptized, and we want to celebrate that moment with you, and that's awesome. And we want you to join a community group, and we want you to walk life on life with other people. At the same time, none of those things will confront some of these rooted realities that you and I inherited from our parents. And so what we'll do is we'll hit a wall again and again and again that looks like, can I change if I wanted? Is this always going to be in my blood? Are these issues something I'm always going to have to confront? And if you never take the time to actually heal and actually do that, you will end up being such a frustrated Christian going from a family to a new family and going, why can't I walk in my new family in freedom? So when people ask us, they're like, well, what's the discipleship strategy for ACC? Don't you love when we use words in church that nobody understands? You know, what we mean by discipleship is, what does it look like for people to become more like Jesus? As our team has prayed about this, we've said we have got to empower our people at this church to do the deep work that only God can do. And to do that, we have to be willing to consistently and repeatedly go places that are uncomfortable and confront realities that maybe we'd rather ignore. And I believe that when that happens, you can start a new legacy for your family. And I believe that the Word of God has the capacity to do the deep work that no self-help book can do and no pump-up sermon has the capacity to do. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in 1 Peter. 1 Peter, it's toward the end of your Bible. Written by Peter, obviously. You know, I teach this Bible class for a recovery home for men every other Tuesday. And I was preaching this passage this week, and I was like, who wrote 1 Peter? And they were like, Paul. I was like, oh, we got a lot of work to do. But that's usually a great answer if you're talking about a New Testament book. But we're going to look at 1 Peter. Before we start talking about this, I need everybody to look up here. Look up here. For the older people in the room, do not tune me out. I know that there's some adults in this room who are going, my kids have already grown up. I've already finished my parenting role and responsibility. Like, they're out of college, or they're out of the house, or they've started their own families. The blood of Jesus can do more in one moment than sin and Satan can do with a lifetime. And the legacy of your family can change on a dime. And I am here as a walking, talking, living testimony of the power of God in my dad's own life. And if I talk about this for too long, I'll get super emotional. But my dad is in his mid-60s, and for the first time in his life, God is unearthing and breaking chains in him that I can feel breaking chains in my own relationship with God. And I'm almost 30. I'm here to tell you, some of y'all are laughing, yeah, I'm finally mature enough to be your pastor. It's great. Even someone who's just like, my family is so far gone, this legacy is gone and out. Do not underestimate the power of the blood of Jesus to redefine your family story, even today. We're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 1. Now, whenever we read a letter in the Bible, we got to know why it was written. We got to know who wrote it. We got to know who he wrote it to. So obviously, this is written by Peter. I love that it was written by Peter because Peter had issues. And Peter had some shining moments during the life of Jesus. He walked on water. He was the first person to confess Jesus as the Christ. At the same time, he fell when he was walking on water, and he denied Jesus 3 times the night before Jesus died. I love Peter because he's either on or off. And that's how so many of you are and how I am on many days. But later on in Peter's life, he became a major leader in the early church. And he actually wrote 1 Peter to a group of Christians who had been spread out throughout the Roman Empire. And if you need like a theme for 1 Peter, I love in my Bible having like a sentence that describes a book of the Bible. Just so every time I turn there, I'm like, I know what that's about. The theme of 1 Peter is living in the world, but not of the world. In, not of. So you're in a family, but you're not of that family. You're born to a new family. You're in this world, but you're not of this world. You were made for another world with a heavenly father. That's 1 Peter. Let's read the first 2 verses. Here we go. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. I know so many times when I read books of the Bible, I'll just skip over the greeting and get right to what's being said. But there's so much goodness when you read the author's original intent for why he wrote something. And Peter is starting off this letter going, I'm writing this to chosen exiles. People who in this world are looked at like exiles, but in the family of God have been chosen. Chosen according to what? Chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. This is not a message about the Trinity, but in these verses, we have one of the most clear pictures of what the purpose of the Trinity is in the entire Bible. It's so simple. The Father loves you and chooses you. So if you had a dad this side of heaven that didn't want you or maybe neglected you and your relationship with your dad has completely skewed your view of God as Father, let me tell you this. God the Father adopted you into his family way before you were born into your earthly family. And you have a heavenly family where your heavenly Father goes, I chose you, you're mine, and that did not happen the moment you were born. You were not an accident. That happened before the world was created. He called you his. God the Father, I love this. If I could summarize the role of God the Father, it's to love you. The reason you breathe God's air is to be loved by God the Father. Through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. So the Spirit's pretty cool. What does he do? He sanctifies you over time to become more like Jesus. This is the power source. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us to live out this life doing what? Being obedient to Jesus, who is our good shepherd. If Jesus is our good shepherd, then we're going to have to be able to obey him. The problem is we can't do that on our own. We tried that in the law, in the Old Testament. It didn't work. And now we have a spirit-empowered ability to do what Jesus says. And oh yeah, just in case you don't do what he says, which none of us do, every single time you are sprinkled with his blood. That word sprinkled does not mean, ooh, a little bit of blood. That word sprinkled means poured over your life. This is the Trinity. Loved by the Father, empowered by the Spirit, led by the Son. And redeemed by the Son. Now watch verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. I love it. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The most important relationship on planet Earth that impacts your picture of who God is your relationship with your earthly father. And the sooner you and I come to realize that our earthly father is not a reflection of our heavenly father. He's far less, and our heavenly father is the perfection of our earthly father. What do I mean by that? I mean, you and I have to transition from seeing God the way we see our dads, regardless of how great our dads were. I hope that your dad paints a good picture of God as Father, and I hope I do too for my daughter and our kids in the future, but at the same time, I know I'm going to fall short, and I know that your dad fell short, but that doesn't mean that this is a reality that you can run from, regardless of how short he fell, because Jesus's purpose was not to bring us into heaven one day, it's to bring us to our Father today. So many people say Jesus is the only way to heaven, and they quote John 14. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to heaven except through me, except that's not what Jesus said. We've been misquoting that our entire lives. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. So if you don't come to know God as your perfect Father, you might be headed for heaven one day, but you're going to live like hell until you get there. You've got to transition to seeing, I've got to see you as you are, and I've got to let you father me. And then Peter says this, you have been born again. I love that. You've been given new birth into a living hope. Why is it important that you get new birth? Because you enter into a family by birth. You don't choose your family. Your family chooses you. And it's the same way with your heavenly family. You entered in by birth into this living hope. And then I love this last part. Into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Not material inheritance, a spiritual inheritance. And another word for inheritance in this passage is the word legacy. You were born into a new legacy that it's imperishable. It can't fade. It's not going to go away. And then a few verses later, Peter gets back on this idea of the imperishable that won't spoil or fade. And I want to show you this. This is like the best verse that I've read this week. And it's verse 18. Watch this. If you're in chapter 1, go to verse 18. I want you to see this. He says, For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. I love this. So what did Jesus redeem you from according to this passage? Not sin, not hell, and he did redeem you from sin and hell, but this passage says that you are redeemed by blood, by Jesus, from the empty way of life handed down to you by your ancestors. At the root level of what Jesus was redeeming you from, it was from a family that's been broken by sin into a family now defined by righteousness. And then he says this at the very end. You were bought with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. I think the blood of Jesus is so much more than we've made it out to be. I think it's good when we say the blood of Jesus is the revealing of our sin and forgives our sin, and that's true. However, the blood of Jesus is not just the revealing of your sin. The blood of Jesus is also the revealing of your value. Because if God was willing to pay the blood of Jesus to rescue and redeem you, that means that that's what you're worth to your Father. So what is anything worth? Anything is worth what is paid for. If you sell your car, it's worth the maximum amount of money you can possibly get for it. And when Peter's describing to these believers how they were bought, they're going, God didn't buy you with silver or gold or something that perishes. God bought you with the blood of Jesus. I don't know the message that was passed down to you in your family, but I do know this. The message of the new family of Jesus is you are worth so much more than you're aware of. And some of you who come from broken families and who never had a word of love and belief spoken into you, you need to know that the cross is not just the revealing of your sin, it is also the revealing of your value. And the blood now becomes the new blood for your family and future. So why is it important that it's blood? Because what binds you to your family in the past is the blood that runs through your veins. And when you become a Christian, there's a new blood that defines your story. So while the enemy might say, it'll always be in your blood, you'll always repeat divorce, you'll always be fighting addiction, you'll always be like this, your mom was always like this, your dad was always like this, but the blood of Jesus says, well, that might be true about the blood that bound you to the past, but the blood that was bound to the cross redeems you and welcomes you into a new family. And praise God, we get welcomed into a new family today at Auburn Community Church. Man. Okay, so I could stay hype this entire sermon about this stuff. I could talk about this all day long. Here's the reality, though. Unless you and I take intentional, practical steps in our families, all of this will just be a hype sermon and you'll move on and have lunch and repeat the same failures that have been passed down to you again and again and again. So too many of us, we get so excited about following Jesus, but it becomes emotional and it becomes, yeah, a new family, I've been born again, this is awesome, and I'm a child of God, that's my new identity. Well, unless you step into that identity and make some difficult decisions, all of this will just be words, and all of this will just be songs. And so before I tell you what I want us to do with what we've heard today, I just want to stop and say that nothing matters more than this. When we talk about family legacy, this is not like good for a side conversation at lunch and move on from your day. This is everything. And there are a lot of things I could be talking about today, but when we talk about what we're passing down to our kids, I'm a new parent and I was not ready for this. I was not ready to look into the eyes of my daughter and feel the weight of every decision that I've ever made in a moment. And some of the parents who have been raising kids longer than me, you're like, yeah, oh my gosh. It just changes the way you look at your own decisions in life. And when I look at her, can we put that picture of me and Anderson up there? This is us in the lobby a couple weeks ago. I don't know if we have that picture. Okay, here's what I love about this picture. First of all, my daughter loves the spotlight. I don't know where she gets it from, probably her mom. Like anytime there's a camera on her, people are watching her, she's like putting on a show. And I put just our faces next to each other because I was looking at this picture this week and I feel the weight of what I am talking about. And for those of you in the room who you don't have children, maybe you're not even married yet, the weight of these truths is so heavy and imperative that you tune in with everything that I'm saying right now. there is nothing that matters more to me, and there is nothing that matters more to us as a church family than passing down to the next generation a legacy of freedom and a legacy that is different than the one that was passed down to us. So regardless of your family background, regardless of what season that you are in, I need you to tune in. And I know some of the couples in our church are struggling with infertility, and this message might just, you might be tempted to make this just a reminder of everything that you're frustrated with God about. I'm going to ask you not to do that. I'm going to ask you to start writing these things into your marriage now. Because if you don't write them into your marriage now, you definitely won't write them in the future into the life of your kids. So as always, I got three things that we need to do with the word of God today. Can you look at the person next to you and say family legacy? I want you to feel the weight of this. Family legacy. Here we go. Three things from 1 Peter chapter 1. Here it is. I want you to cultivate a legacy of forgiveness from your family's past. Cultivate a legacy, this is heavy, of forgiveness from your family's past. I think a lot of us assume that we won't repeat the patterns that our parents passed down to us because of what we noticed. So if your parents got divorced, or mom or dad was an alcoholic, or there was this kind of crazy tension that you never came to grips with, you assume, well, because I saw that and because it made me so mad, I'll never pass that down to my kids. I'll never get a divorce. I'll never have a drink. I'll never go down that road. I'll never. Okay, you might not pass down that issue, but you will pass down bitterness. And if bitterness is at the root of your family tree, watch how that wreaks havoc over time. What your family needs, regardless of how perfect it was on the outside, what your family needs more than anything is a culture of forgiveness. That's why I love the word cultivate, because it's something that you have to work toward. And you do not have to allow sin against you to produce sin within you. You don't have to allow sin against you to produce sin within you. And this is why it's so important to know that you've been born again into a new family, because if my Father in heaven chose me before the foundation of the world, then all of the wounds that I've inherited from my family of origin can be redeemed by the blood of Jesus if I have my new birth into my new family at the center of my mind. So I don't know what you're carrying in here today, and I know that word, forgiveness, man, I dropped that on some people in our church, and they are going, there is no possible way I could step into that. Got to keep your eyes on the cross, but on top of that, you've got to know that if you don't step into forgiveness, you are passing down bitterness. And I want you to work toward a culture of forgiveness in your family. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Bitter roots grow where there's no cultivation. I was mowing the lawn Friday, which is like one of the few manly things that I do. You guys know me. I don't like being outside. Like, I like Starbucks in the mall and air conditioning. And I'm like, oh, but I like doing the lawn. But there's all these weeds that have grown over the spring. And what I'm noticing is the ones that I've left alone the longest are the ones that are the hardest to dig up. They get stronger the longer you leave them alone. A culture of forgiveness doesn't just need to exist for a family that has a lot of external brokenness. A culture of forgiveness needs to be present in every single family of this room. How do you build a culture of forgiveness? Awkward conversations. Awkward conversations are the key to stepping into forgiveness. Lots of apologies. Because I talk to well-meaning Christian parents all the time who don't know why their children are so rebellious and don't know why are they running away from God. I talk to pastors whose kids are so far from God, and the thing I hear consistently is, man, the thing I wish I would have done different, I wish I would have apologized more. I wish I would have displayed vulnerable brokenness more so that they would know that mom's not perfect, so they would know that dad's not perfect. The culture of your family needs to be one that constantly says, I'm sorry, I forgive you. Because things that go unsaid over time end up getting to the root and end up creating bitterness. And so you might be here going, well, I don't come from a crazy broken family, and this message is for somebody else. No, this message is for you. Because you've got to continually cultivate this. And when things come up and things happen that don't go the way you wanted it to go, you and I have to be willing to step into grace and step into forgiveness that was displayed on the cross. Awkward, I wrote this, awkward conversations are the birthplace of new legacies. The things that none of us want to do, none of us want to step into, but maybe even today, if your family for once didn't talk about the weather or sports or something to just get through the meal without any tension, but actually confronted some of these realities, the health that it would bring to your family tree and family legacy would be off the charts. But you gotta be willing to go there. I have never had someone shout me down with facts, and I love that. Thank you. That was great. So number one is this: cultivate a legacy of forgiveness from your family's past. For the families that are visiting, aren't you glad you visited ACC today? It's great. It's great. Number two is this: commit a legacy of freedom to your family's present. Commit a legacy of freedom to your family's present. Generational sin is a real thing. And you do not have to consult the Bible to figure that out. Science can tell you that. People who study genetics will tell you that it is astounding how many things genetically are passed down from parents to their kids in the wiring of their brains and in the tendencies of their actions. Nature has a huge effect on who we become. And this is not something that was invented by science necessarily. This is something that was authored by God. Did you know when God gave the Ten Commandments, he stops at one point in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9, and he says, I will visit the sin of the parents to the third and the fourth generation. But to those who are faithful, I will bless their family for 1,000 generations. Well, that word sin is actually not even the word sin. It's the word iniquity. I will visit the iniquity to the third and fourth generation. What's the difference between sin and iniquity? Sin is the actual act of disobeying God. Iniquity is the inclination to do the act. It means you're more inclined. It means, the word iniquity means bent. So you're born more bent to certain issues because of your family than I am. And I'm born with more of an inclination to certain issues than you are because of the family that I come from. And the key to getting free from these issues is confronting that they even exist in the first place. See, the enemy would love for you and love for me to just go, well, I'm a Christian now, so I won't be like my dad, and I won't be like my mom, and I won't be like their parents, and I'll just change, and I'll just be different. No, without an intentional confrontation with these realities and an out loud commitment to a new legacy of freedom, you will continue to find yourself going down the same paths because you can't break generational chains that you're unaware of. You will not break stuff that you don't even acknowledge that it exists. And this is not just the big things. I know I've said divorce a lot and I've said substance abuse a lot. You know some other generational issues that get passed down? Conflict resolution is one of them. If your parents or their parents had a tendency to ignore and bury conflict, guess what? So will you. Affection, how you show affection. Sexuality. Running from awkward conversations. All of these things are things that we inherit. And if we do not confront and call it out and wash our families with the blood of Jesus, we will continue to repeat the patterns of the past. So today at church, I want to invite you. Now, this takes time and this takes healing, but it starts on one day. I want to invite you today, when this sermon is over, as we worship together, to commit your family to a legacy of freedom. How do I do that? Even in your mind, I want you to think of all the things that die with you in your family tree. As you're praising God, I want you to go, this is where divorce ends. This is where abuse ends. This is where neglect ends. This is where an absent father ends. This is where it all ends because the blood of Jesus is writing a new story in my family and there's a new legacy available. But that legacy doesn't begin until you claim it and until you commit your family to it. Parents, I invite you to look your kids in the eye and tell them, these are the chains that we have inherited and these are the issues that we need to confront. And even if your kids are long gone from the house, I implore you to be willing to go, you know what? I never told you this, but I do not want to pass this one down. This one ends with me. And there is nothing more important to your family's legacy than your willingness to surrender to God and go, all of these issues go to the ground when I go to the ground. And I bless my family for 1,000 generations because of the blood of Jesus that washes my family clean. You got to commit. And this is what it means to be a church without walls, y'all. A church without walls is not just, oh, we don't have a building, we needed a catchy saying. No, this is a wall between you and God. And if we're going to be a church without walls, I need you to go with us when we commit to deep level healing moving forward. We're going to be inviting you into some groups that are going to cause awkward, difficult conversations. We are going to actually, if you're a member of this church, we are going to help you diagram your family tree. And that is not to relive all of the darkness of what was before. That is to allow you to step into the light that you'll be unaware of until you confront these things. And I'm confronting these things. I'm looking at things I don't want to face in my own family, but I can also feel that the longer I look the other way, the more it causes turmoil on the inside of me. So what do we need to do? We need to cultivate a legacy of forgiveness from your family's past, commit a legacy of freedom to your family's present, and lastly, and this one's going to come out of nowhere, create a legacy of faith for your family's future. And I've never really thought of this, but one of the most harmful legacies that almost every family in this room is passing down unknowingly is the legacy of pursuing a safe, comfortable, average life. So when Courtney and I told our home church back in Metro Atlanta that we were leaving to start a church, I was 25 years old, and we were not starting this church with any sort of network or financial support, so rightfully so, they responded with, "That's a bad decision." And I was like, I know it seems so unwise, but like I really feel like the voice of God told my wife, first of all, and then she told me, "Hey, we're supposed to go do this." And I'm like, oh my gosh. So my church had me meet with one of our elders, and this particular elder who I was going to meet with, he was like the wise owl elder, like the one who, you know, rubs his goatee the entire conversation and never says anything. But then when he does say something, everybody leans in and they're like, okay, I'm listening. So I'd never gone to breakfast with him before in my life. And so I'm like sweating. I'm like, man, I believe that God's going to do this. And I believe God's going to get his hand on this church. It's going to be a new thing. It's going to be different. And I'm so excited. And I know I'm young, and I'm not to let anybody look down on me because I'm young, but I just want to prove to you. Well, he's just sitting there rubbing his goatee and nodding. And so I'm like sweating. And he said this, I'll never forget this. He said, "Are you done trying to prove to me that you're not making a terrible decision?" And I'm sweating. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm done. And this is what he said. I never thought this was coming. He said, "You know, whether or not you succeed or fail in where you're going, I don't really know. And honestly, I don't really care. Here's what I want to say to you. No matter what, do not allow this to be the last time that you and Courtney take a risk because you felt like Jesus was leading you to something unconventional. Because you don't know this and you don't even have kids yet, but you are writing a legacy of faith into your family's future that says that Jesus is actually who he says he is. So no matter what happens next, keep taking risks and keep believing that the voice of God leads you places that maybe your feelings tell you otherwise." And what I've got to tell you today is this. The worst thing, ACC, look at me. The worst thing we could pass down to our kids is this legacy of chasing comfort and safety and security above all else. And this is why they don't buy in to a lot of the Christianity that was modeled for them by the generations before. People ask me, how do you have so many young people? Why are so many young people drawn to this? Well, because they grew up in places where on Sunday, Jesus was preached, sort of, but mom and dad taught them that the highest value in life was their degree, was their salary, was this life of comfort and safety and security that you need to chase. When in all actuality, I read this book and I go, he's not safe. This is not safe. This is difficult. And this is dangerous. And the harm you do to your family is not just about what you did that you shouldn't have done. It's about what you didn't do that you could have done if you would have stepped in to all that God had for you. And so what do we need to do, church? We need to model a version of following Jesus that's actually as dangerous as the Bible that we read. Now, I'm not saying don't shepherd your family. I'm not saying don't protect your family. I feel everything that I am saying in a completely different way now that I have a daughter who's one. Like I'm following her around the house going, oh God, please don't fall. Please don't fall. Oh, because mom's not home and she'll be mad. But on top of that, you'll be hurt. And I'm like, oh, I'm so protective. Like I am so trying to control everything about what's happening. I feel that in me. But you gotta know, it would be so much worse for your kids for you to coddle them their entire life and them never see the real Jesus in you than it would be for you to have your arms of control. Your hands of control don't even have them anyway. Your good shepherd has them and he will lead. places that don't make sense. At the same time, he is a better shepherd than you and I will ever be. And so I want to challenge us. Are we a church full of people that is modeling this? And you know what? Some of y'all are like, the most dangerous thing I ever decided to do was join this church. Okay. But are we a church that actually lives this, or are we a church that gathers and listens to a guy who talks about being dangerous? See, I want to sit right there with you and go, we can't just talk about this stuff. We can't just look like we're actually living this stuff. We actually have to, by faith, give generously. We have to go when God says go. We have to step into conversations that people maybe don't want us to have in that moment, because our kids are going to see us uncomfortable, and they're going to see us model a life that looks like faith. Because faith that is sure about everything is not faith at all. It's certainty. No. We're stepping into calling, and we're doing that together with our families. The last thing I want to mention to you is, why do you think most of the baptism stories last Sunday started with, I grew up in a Christian family, but. I grew up in a Christian family, but, dot, dot, dot. And then this. Maybe I grew up in a Christian family that never, ever got dangerous and serious enough to show me that the Christ in Christian is actually someone who exists. And I want my kid's story to be, I grew up in a Christian family, and here's what God did. It's not going to be perfect, but it's going to be a new legacy. You can put your notes away all over this room. We're going to step into a moment of worship together. If y'all don't mind, let's stand up all over this room. I want to have a moment where we commit a new legacy in our family. So it looks like forgiveness. It looks like freedom, and it looks like faith. But the beginning looks a lot like surrender. And the sign for surrender is the same as the sign for victory. So here's what I'm going to ask. Just as I pray for you, and just as we sing the songs that we're about to sing, I'm going to ask that we would bow our heads and close our eyes all over this room. If you're tracking with me and going, I want that legacy for my family. I want us to step into freedom. I want us to forgive the past, and I want to start a new legacy of faith. And if it begins with me today, then it begins with me today. But I want you to take a step, a visible step, to say, I surrender my family legacy, and I want to pray for you. If this is you and you want to commit your family, let's make a physical response to what's real in the spiritual. Would you just lift your hand if that's you right now, if that's your family, if that's your family, you commit your family legacy. Come on. Come on, keep them up. Let me pray for you. Father God, I pray for every hand raised in this place. I pray for new stories and new legacies to spring forth. I pray for your blood to redefine the stories of our families. And God, when we get timid, God, when we get afraid, I pray that your voice.
Thank you for listening to the Auburn Community Church Podcast. If you or someone you know has been impacted by the ministry of ACC, we want to invite you to share your story with us by emailing us at mystory@auburncommunitychurch.com. We encourage you to keep up with all God is doing at ACC by following along on Instagram, Facebook, and our website, auburncommunitychurch.com.